7. The bow. And El Elyon spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark. It was the first word spoken to him since the door had been shut, and there had been a year of silence in between, and we would like you to weigh that year before you go a step further. He had done everything he was told. He had built the thing, and pitched it, and gone into it, and floated over the drowned top of everything he had ever known. And he had not heard one word out of Ramoth in 12 months. Then the door opened, and the light came in, and the first thing El Elyon said to him was, Come out! And the watchers of Ramoth had stood over that box every hour of that year, and had not been permitted to say so much as a word through the boards. And they came out, and they stood on it, and it was not Eden come again, whatever the silence might have tempted them to hope. It was a world grave. It was grey from one edge of the sky to the other, scoured down to the rock in places, and in others the mud lay feet deep and slick and stinking, with the whole wreckage of an age lying about in it, timbers and roof beams and the bones of great beasts nobody will ever see again. And here and there a thing that had been a house. Nothing moved, no smoke anywhere. No dog barking somewhere out of sight, which is the sound a man does not notice until it has stopped for good. And 8 people stood small upon it in the wind, with a boat behind them and a whole world under their feet. And the ruined ones stood about the edges of that mud and looked at the 8 of them and counted and were not satisfied and never have been. And the first thing Noah did was to build an altar, not a house. Not a fence, not a fire, not a shelter for the night, and there was nothing to eat and no roof, and the light was going. He gathered stones out of the mud, and he built an altar, and he took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, of the very creatures he had spent a year keeping alive with his own hands in the dark, and he killed them, and he burned them. Think what that cost him. Every one of those animals was one of a very few, and he had carried them, and fed them, and shoveled out after them, and knew them. And he had 8 people to feed, and a whole world to restock, and not one beast to spare. And he gave them away. He built the altar first, and he asked for nothing, and there is not a word in the record about what he wanted or what he was afraid of. He came the appointed way, with blood, as his fathers had been shown at a gate long ago by a man with shaking hands. And the smoke went up, and Ramoth leaned out over it, and Abaddon looked up through the mud at it, and both of them knew exactly what it was, and neither of them said anything. Now, read the reason he gives, and read it twice. For it is the strangest reason ever given for a mercy, and it will take the ground out from under you. Why will he never do this again? Because the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. That is the same charge, not the same words, and it does not need to be. That is the very indictment he handed down before the water came, and now he hands it back down as the ground of a promise never to do it again. Not because the world is better. It is not better. The man who is standing at that altar with the blood on his hands will be lying drunk and naked in a tent before this scroll is finished. Because the world is not better, and he knows it, and he knows it will not be, and drowning it does not mend it, and he is not going to do that again. He is going to do something else. And you will be a great many pages into this chronicle before you find out what. Ramoth knew that evening. Abaddon did not, and does not, and is still guessing. And the watchers of Ramoth heard that oath sworn over a burnt heap in a mud field by 8 frightened people. And it is the first covenant in this scroll, and it is made with a man who did not ask for it, and had not earned it, and did not yet know it was happening. And the ruined ones heard it too, down in the dark, and it was the worst hour they had had since the garden. They thought they had won. They had poisoned every well in the world, and taken every house, and every line, and every tent, and they had lost by 1 cup. And now, the one they had lost to was standing over the ashes of their whole victory and promising never to sweep the board again. And then he hung up his weapon. And I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. Now hear what a bow is, and do not think first of the pretty colors, though the colors are his, and he made them, and he is not ashamed of them. A bow is a weapon. It is the thing a man kills at a distance with, and every child in every country under heaven knows what it is for the moment he sees one. And this one is not in a man's hand. It is up in the cloud, hung, laid aside, put away, where a warrior puts a bow when the war is over, and he comes in out of the rain and reaches up and sets it on the pegs above the door. And look which way it is pointing. Stand in a field in the west with the sun behind you and the rain going away east, and look at it. The string is toward the earth, and the bend of it is toward heaven. It is a bow drawn against the sky. If that weapon were ever loosed, it would not be loosed at us. It is aimed at the one who hung it there. Ramoth has understood that sign from the first evening it stood in the sky. Abaddon has looked up at it in every rainstorm since and has never been able to read one line of it. And he says, "When I bring a cloud over the earth, the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will look upon it, and I will remember. Not you, him. It is not a knot in your handkerchief. It is not there so that you will feel better when the sky goes black. It is there so that El Elyon, who does not forget, will look at his own weapon hanging over a wet world, and remember what he swore over a dead sheep in a mud field to a frightened old man who had just given away a good portion of everything he had. That is the memory of God, and there is nothing in the three worlds like it, and the accuser cannot get at it, and cannot alter it, and cannot make him forget. And there is one more thing to say about that bow, and it is the reason we have got through this scroll at all. Another of ours, the prophet Isaiah, sat down and wrote to people in exactly our condition, in a country not ours, under a wall not ours, and this is what El Elyon told him to tell us. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. Do you hear it? He staked us on the bow. The whole hope of every man sitting round this fire, in this city, with the house of El Elyon, a black floor behind us, and the chains still on the wall, is pinned to a weapon hanging in a cloud over a drowned world. And it rains here. It rains on the flat black plain and comes across the canal in a grey sheet and hisses in the reeds, and the young men run for the doorways. And sometimes, afterward, when the sun comes back under the edge of it, we go out and stand in the mud in our old coats and look up, and we do not say anything. And we know exactly what we are looking at, and so does the pit, and so do the watchers, and so we think, do you?